This now is the best of the Scott Williams Show. Have your say. Call 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cents.
Yeah, burn at 850-6597 on the phone, as usual. And text is 57102 for 20 cents with eMobile, Arkham's mobile phone service. If you've got a consumer problem, it all comes out on a Monday, because that's when he comes in.
This is evening, a repeat of the Scott Williams Show.
Good evening.
Phone and text lines are now closed. Here in studio to answer your questions. We're going straight to Cliona.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Cliona. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Good.
Now, Cliona was with us last week, don't you remember?
She was the
UPC and the broadband and the charging and the phone and all. Remember all that carry on?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, how'd you get on in the week?
A good result.
Yeah?
only the afternoon afterwards, after the show. So Monday evening, I think it was, or Monday afternoon, I got an email from them sincerely apologising for all the inconvenience caused to me on the issue, and that they had reviewed my account and I actually only owed them €16 for...
Which is what you said all along, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and please confirm if you'd like us to arrange to switch back on your TV service. We'd hate to lose you as a very valued customer.
Are you going back?
So, I don't think so. No.
No?
No, I'm quite happy as I am, so yeah.
You switched your telly over to your device or something?
No, I'm watching most stuff on RealPlayer.
On Real Player.
And yes, then you were recommending Serview last week. So
yes, the Serview.
Might go down that route.
Yeah, the Serview is good. I was talking to someone about the Serview today. Apparently the Serview is where it's at. See, the picture's only fantastic.
Yeah.
And Debbie.
Fantastic. So a great result. So
good result. Good result. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're sorted, Cliona. That's the main thing.
Thanks very much.
Oh, that's what we're here for.
That's no.
Hardly it. And good luck with the Serview.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy. Bye.
Well, at least we're clean, Dermot. The Serview is Sir.
Yes, it is. Totally.
We love Sir.
Oh, yes.
Sir is my favourite price.
You're only man.
It's great. Anyway, it's grand. It was a very quick one there. Thanks, Cliona. I'm glad to hear that Cliona was sorted out. I've been told, says Colm, that Vodafone are disconnecting me from my broadband because I'm interfering with other users because I have unlimited downloads. I myself believe it's because I have unlimited downloads and that is why I'm being cut off. Is there anyone else they were doing this to? Asks Cullum.
That's an interesting one, and I'd say there'd be one or two people who might be coming in touch with us shortly, hopefully, because a rather unusual decision and determination. So you're just using way too much, Cullum. Crazy.
Well, that's what he suspects, but he's been told you're causing interference. How could you cause interference?
I don't know. That makes, well, a degree of less logic than I would have anticipated.
So how would
that.
You advise Colin? What should he say to the company? How would you?
Well, realistically, it's just a matter of getting in touch, back in touch, and saying you're going to have to give me very detailed specifics of exactly what is the problem.
Yeah.
Other than that, we have a contract, we have terms, unlimited usage, and there you have it.
So find out, precisely is the interference, is it RF or IF or something else?
Exactly.
And the frequencies and all.
Yes.
And actually, Colm, if you get all that stuff together, why don't you send it to us? We have a look at that from Dirt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because I had only one example of a case like this, Scott, and it was an individual who said very much the same, and a degree of small print was pointed out which said unlimited didn't necessarily mean
subject
unlimited.
To fair use.
Yes, fair use. So just check out the detail there, Colm.
Yeah, read your contract, Colm. Hi, guys. After speaking to you the other week, I got a call from NCPS and they apologised for sending me something to make up for how I was treated. This was the clamped
car
to carry on. Yeah. I was the girl who had her car clamped for the whole weekend outside her. Yes. We remember you,
Indeed,
Suzanne.
We do. Who could forget that one?
Just want to say hooray to Dermot and Scott. We'll take praise anywhere.
Of course
you
will.
I'm glad you're sorted out, Suzanne.
Brilliant.
That's really the point. Now, we can go to Niamh. Hello, Niamh.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Niamh. We're great form. What about you?
Not too bad. I just have a little discrepancy here.
Sounds painful.
I ordered a bed for my little girl whose bedroom, it's a box room.
Yeah.
So when I was ordering it, I was mindful that there's a wardrobe down the end of it, and I needed to be able, obviously, to be able to open the wardrobes out, so I...
But you being a woman, Niamh, you would have measured all that with a measuring tape before you went out.
Well, I knew, kind of. I had in mind what would fit and what wouldn't fit, but I ordered the bed anyway and was told it was 6'2". I didn't order the bed, or I didn't measure.
Oh, I see.
I didn't have a tape with me then, but...
So we say, how long is this bed? And they say 6'2".
Yeah,
okay,
I was told 6'2".
Hmm.
So I went home, remeasured. My husband said, yeah, 6'2" bed would fit, would be able to get in and out of the wardrobe, which was fine.
Nice.
There last week, I got a phone call, delighted to say the bed was ready for collection. So I wanted to reconfirm again the length of the bed, only to be told it was 6'6". So I was saying, that's no use to me. I can't have access to the wardrobe. So now I paid a €50 deposit, but the guy is trying to tell me he gave me the measurements of the mattress, and I was saying, why would I ask the measurements of a mattress? You know what I mean?
Well, that's a brilliant question.
So it just makes sense, but they're trying to say to me, I owe €25 because I ordered a bed that I'm not now.
Right.
And I was saying, I'm not paying €25 for a mistake. Like, I didn't pull that figure for two out of the sky.
No, but you were very particular. I mean, Dermot, on a reasonable level, who goes around talking about the length of mattresses? You're talking about the length of a bed.
Yeah, you're talking about the length of the bed, and that's the norm. So that's the reasonable.
What can we do for Niamh? They want €25 from you, Niamh.
Yeah, because they said they had to order to get this bed in for me.
Well, I would believe that. Wouldn't you believe that,
Dermot?
I believe they have to get the bed in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
but I'm not paying £25 for information that was given to me.
And you've already paid a €50 deposit. Is that what you said?
€50, and they're telling me I have to forfeit £25 of it.
Okay. And did you get a receipt in any shape or form that mentions anything about the size of the bed sold to you?
No.
It just says a bed.
It just says a Leo sleeper. That it just says the type of the bed that it is.
Okay. Well, look, realistically, what I suggest you go back to them and point out is that you were speaking to myself and to Scott, and that you asked for a bed. You didn't ask to buy a mattress. You asked to buy a bed, and they gave you a size. And it was the description which was a bed you were purchasing, which was 6'2".
Yeah.
Now, the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act dictates that everything you purchase should be as it was described, and therefore it's either fit or it's not fit for its purpose. So this was described to you not as a mattress or a bed with a mattress that's 6'2", but as a bed that was 6'2". You paid a deposit, and that binds you and them into a contract, which is quite correct, and that therefore they're going to have to meet the terms of the contract and provide you with a bed that's 6'2", or give you back your money.
Yeah, very simple.
Yeah, I was prepared to, like, go and choose another bed from them. I've used this
very good
before.
Yeah. Yes.
But I'm, at this stage now, I'm begrudging going back and spending my money there because they've been so rude.
The attitude. Well, I appreciate that.
You know, well,
that's your call.
It was the attitude, because I had said, look, as I said to you before, I didn't pull that figure out of 6'2" out of the sky.
Well,
I don't work in that bed industry. And he said to me, exactly. So you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, anyway, Niamh, our suggestion to you is you go back to them and you say, look, the contract was for, under the Sale of Goods and Supply Services Act,
yes,
for a 6'2" bed.
That's the description.
And then he'd say, but, and you say, no, please, listen to me. 6'2", you haven't supplied it yet. So you either do it within 4 working days?
Yeah, no more. A couple of days, you know, because...
Your working days, like...
Working days.
Oh, yes.
You give me a 6'2" bed, or you give me my money back.
Yeah, and then they can decide there and then. So you've got to say to them, can you do this in the number of days? Okay, if you can, great. If not, then let's get this over and done with now. Give me back my money. But it's your choice.
Yeah.
It's your choice, because I hear what you're saying.
It's your decision.
But it's your decision.
All right, Niamh.
Right. Okay, that's great.
Good luck with it, Niamh.
Bye-bye. Let us know how you get on there, Niamh. Listener Ron, pedantic listener, it's 6'2", not 6'2". Right.
Okay.
And we have such big problems in this country. Here is Francis. Hello, Francis.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm grand. Now, Francis bought a bottle gas cooker in Liffey Valley, darn it.
Lovely.
They took away the old one, which is grand because, you know, blah.
Nebs, yes.
She had no way to connect it and make it work and had to buy the parts to do that elsewhere, and you were without a cooker for the evening.
And I'm actually still without it.
Still without it. And this was bought from Power City, Francis.
It was, yeah.
Right. Now, we didn't have the details of this one for too long, Dermot. We've actually got a statement from Power City for Francis on this.
Right.
And this is with regard to gas cooker supplied by Power City. Any new gas cooker does not come supplied with the fittings. This is mainly to ensure that the customer contacts a registered gas fitter to install the appliance, even with LPG bottled gas cookers, and the fitter will have the necessary fittings to connect the appliance. Any gas appliance by law is required to be fitted by a certified fitter, as we know. Says Darren Phillips in Power City Head Office, Dermot. That sound reasonable?
It does. It does. Yeah. Was this not explained to you, Francis?
No, it wasn't.
Obviously not.
Clearly not.
This was my whole quim about this.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So, and you obviously allowed your cooker to be taken away, not realising that, look, this has to be fitted by a qualified installation expert. I appreciate exactly. The difficulty. Yeah, it's terrible
it's
that you were let down in that way.
Yeah, it's a pain in the back burner. On your cooker.
Yes.
Pain in the back burner.
And Francis, have you organised somebody to come and fit it for you?
No, sweetheart, I haven't. I am using a bottle gas cooker the past 26 years.
Right.
And if I can't do it at this stage, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
I literally thought when I bought this gas cooker that would be just connect to the gas bottle and away we go. Mm.
Yes.
No. Not happening. I still haven't got a connection for it yet.
Right, but so you'll have to get someone, Francis, to come around and install the connector, because the law now is that only gas installers, registered people, can do that line of work and give you a certificate of compliance.
And,
right.
And then you'll be able to fit the bottles yourself, but it's the original connection that must be provided by a registered installer.
You'll be able to swap the bottles over yourself, Francis.
Right, fair enough.
But to get that connector, you need to get a registered installer.
What is annoying me that this wasn't explained to me, I wasn't in the shop in plain view of anywhere to see that, well, listen, this cooker is not fully connected unless it's connected by a gas installer.
Well, you know, Francis, I'd agree, which I think maybe even Power City might agree with, is that they need to put Exhibit Dermot, something like that,
beside
the cooker.
People aware.
But there is actually nothing they can do for you. I don't even know, maybe they would know installers themselves, Dermot.
They might. Yeah. They might have a recommendation.
They might recommend someone to
area.
You. I don't know anybody who does that line of work, actually.
Yeah.
How do I?
I'm sure I'd find it in the...
What part of town are you in?
I'm in Ballyferma.
In Ballyferma. Okay, so
I am.
Will we just throw it out there? If you do that installation business for cookers, I'll just throw it out here. And Francis here is in the Ballyferma area. If that's around your kind of area, if anybody gets in touch, we'll give you their numbers. You can take it from there.
Thank you very much.
Now, Francis, once you're happy,
that's the important thing.
If I did cook, I'd be really happy.
Of course.
They start down here is doing great with me. Between pizzas and curries and chippers.
Myself and Dermot will go around and do it, but we're not allowed.
This is
okay.
It. We'd love to.
I'd do it myself if I had the pass.
Francis, you're not registered.
Don't say that, Francis.
Okay, Francis, bye-bye now.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Francis Ryan there in Ballyfermot. How we got on. We've a whole lot of people to catch up with this week, Dermot.
Very good.
Because there's a lot of good work being going on behind the scenes. Owen's house was burgled back in November. And you might remember Owen. And he was having difficulty getting his settlement check from the insurance company. Yeah. So he rang up again and he said that he had been speaking with Dermot Jewell. And then things all changed.
Okay, the house was actually broken into about the third week in November, a week after my wedding. I just returned home, myself and the wife. The claims inspector from Zurich came out and they basically paid out an amount of money. Now, there was so much damage done to the house that we would be out of the house for about 3 weeks, or sorry, 3 months. So Zurich issued the check with the name Halifax on it, but Halifax are no longer in the country. So it took actually till mid-January before they reissued the check with the Bank of Scotland name on the check. Now, in mid-January then, the Bank of Scotland... they said it would take 10 working days for this cheque to clear and they would transfer the money directly because it had been going on so long. At this stage, they still hadn't transferred the money, so I was on the customer service on it 2 or 3 times a day and nothing happened. During this time, builder's fees were kind of mounting up. I was also paying a mortgage and paying for rent as well because the money was actually included in that cheque. Then Bank of Scotland wanted to for the builder to invoice themselves I got onto the financial ombudsman, and he said this was illegal. And then last week I got onto Q102, and basically they rang me back last week. I made an official complaint to Bank of Scotland and Certis in Ireland to basically deal with that. Within about 24 to 48 hours of telling them that I would be onto Q102 this week, the money was actually transferred on Friday last. Thanks to Q102, then everything has been resolved, basically. And also, the girl, actually, Erica McAvoy, within Bank of Certis, actually did get it resolved for me as soon as possible.
There we are. We love to see success. And well done, Dermot Jewell.
Happy days.
Dermot Jewell is the man. Now, just going back to Frances's query about installing her gas. Website, Frances, it's www.rgii.ie. That's www.rgii.ie. I'm told that's where you go to find an installer. I hope it's the right website. If it's not, you just do a Google, but you will find them there. So you find somebody online. But if you're in that line of work and you operate around the Ballyfermot area of the city, if you let me know, we'll pass your number on, Francis.
This is it.
And we'll have more consumer problems after this. Dublin's
Q102. The Scott Williams Show.
Amort 8506 597 on the phone. 57102 for 20 cent with the Mobile Aircom's mobile phone service. And Dermot Jules here in the studio with me. Always on a Monday, he is.
Indeed he is.
He does it on his way home. He gets his dinner late on a Monday. 8506 597 is the number. Who are we going to now? Oh, this is Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Michelle. Great. Now, Michelle bought a table and chairs from a local furniture store. This was 2009, Michelle, yeah?
2009, the very last day of
2009,
yep.
New Year's Eve,
yeah.
2009, Dermot.
Very good.
And it delivered 2 or 3 days later, so that was the early days of 2010, yep.
That's right. A couple of months after purchasing the table, we noticed that it's an extending table, so right in the middle it wasn't closing properly. There was a bit of a gap in it. So we contacted the store owner, and he told us that because it came straight from a warehouse into the warm house, to give it a bit of time to settle because wood would move in hot and cold. So he told us to open the table out fully to its full extent, which we did. We've only recently put the table back into its closed position, and it's actually gotten worse. The wood is completely lifted on the table. Now, I went back into him there the second week there of January on the 7th, and he basically told us that he would have to get in touch with his manufacturer and see what he could do. And 8 weeks later, he told us that they can fix this, which is what I wanted. I didn't want a refund.
Right.
That they can fix it, but that I will be charged for it because it's out of warranty.
Because it's out of warranty. And this is a solid oak table.
Solid oak, yeah.
There we are,
Dermot. Bought it purely for the fact that it was solid and that it was going to last us a good while.
A good long time.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. So out of warranty is what the store is saying, Dermot. They'll fix it for Michelle, but they want to... Did they mention a figure?
They didn't say how much, no, but... I said to him, look, that it's not like I had damaged the table or something had happened to us. Mm. The fault was in it from the beginning.
This was a defect.
Yeah, yes. So I said, you know, it's not replaceable. They don't actually stock that table anymore, which is unfortunate because I love this table, but you know, I don't feel like that I should have to pay extra for it. We've paid a lot of money for that table.
Yeah, so
we bought a lot of furniture from him as well, you know.
Right, so Dermot, should Michelle have to pay for this or should it be...
I wouldn't think so. Mm. Can I just clarify something that you're mentioning there where you say the wood has lifted? In what way, Michelle, because with being a solid oak table?
Yeah, you know when in the middle where you can extend it out to fit an extra seat in the middle.
Yeah.
When you close that to make it back into the smaller table, it won't close. And you look down eye level to the actual side of the table.
Right.
The wood is splitting and it's lifting right up in the middle.
Ah, I see. Mm. I understand.
That's a design flaw, Dermot.
It is.
Can I ask you, Dermot, what would be an acceptable level of expectation of the lifespan for a solid oak table sold for big money? Would it be more than 2 years?
It would be beyond your life time.
So there's the answer.
Because there are solid oak pieces of furniture that are all around, scattered around the world, that are there long, hundreds of years, but yeah. I'm not going that far, but certainly for your lifetime.
So should they put this right at no charge?
They should put it right at no charge. Now, what I suggest, Michelle, that you or how you approach them is that tell them you're speaking to ourselves, first off.
Because I was dealing with them over the last 8 weeks, the last time I was in with them, I told him that I will be contacting yourself.
Right.
And speaking to you, and his reply was, oh, you go and talk to him and see how far you get.
All right.
That's very helpful, all right.
Okay, yeah, that's lovely. Well, we'll try to take you as far as possible and be positive about it. The very, very fact that they originally told you that the wood would move and that there was it came with an inherent problem from day one proves that this was a fault. I won't say a flaw, but a
faulty table
that was there from day one. And it's all it has done is worsened. Yeah. So if it can be repaired, that's great. And if you're happy with that, that's wonderful.
Yeah, but
it needs to be pointed out
to
them that this has to be at their cost, because if you really were to push for it, and despite what suggested that it's not available, you could require a replacement.
Yeah, and that'll be a lot of fun finding another one of those tables.
And the whole idea this could quite comfortably go to the small claims court and quite comfortably win. I'd actually even go to those degrees. I'm hoping that this won't go to that point, because, as you pointed out, you have had good trading with them. I do hope they understand that it's they're not being reasonable. You just need to stop for a minute, lads, and think of how this started off and where it's gone, and just draw breath for a minute.
So there you are, Michelle. Go back to him and say you were on with us, and I'm just coming back to tell you how I got on Q102, and you just say, here's how I got on. It's just say Dermot Jewell and Scott Williams, they're of the view that it's a defective table. Defective is the word.
Very much so.
And consequently, under the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act of 1980, tell them, we would like this, that you have an option, you can either have a replacement or a repair. You're being reasonable because you realise it's been, a few days and you've had the table and you've become accustomed to it and all of that, and you just like it repaired. That's all.
Exactly,
that's
it.
At his expense.
Yes.
Okay.
And just to explain, if they wanted the legal terminology, it is that when you bought the table, it was not of merchantable quality.
Yeah, I'd write that down, Michelle. Not of merchantable quality. And see how you get on with him now when you go back and tell him how you got on here.
Yes.
He'd love that.
He will love that. And you keep us posted, Michelle, now, won't you?
I will indeed.
Yeah, but be very clear about it. Everything's on your side here. They need to fix that table and at rapido, please.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, take
Michelle.
Care. Bye.
Bye-bye. There's Michelle in Trim. No name of the store. We'll get it. But anyway, it's not important now at this stage. 8506597 is our number. And is this Caroline in Ashbourne? Hey, Caroline.
Hi there, how are you?
Great. What happened to you, Caroline?
Well, basically, last year I left a string of pearls into a local jeweller's to be restrung, which they did restring them. However, they broke immediately when I put them on, so I brought them back. So on two occasions I took them back. On the third occasion, which was the 25th of August of last year, I left my pearls in to be restrung. And basically they state on their envelope that it's a fast and efficient service. I'm still waiting for my pearls back. What happened was I did get them back, but my catch was an 18-carat gold catch, and the catch that was on them when I checked them in the store was completely different of inferior quality.
So they'd replaced your catch?
They replaced the catch with a different catch.
And is that what was wrong? Is that why these things were unravelling all the time?
No. It was, they were purchased in Applebee's perfectly. I had them for years before anything happened to them, so I can't imagine it was the catch.
And is it the string that's breaking, or is it the catch that's undoing?
That's actually not the problem. The problem now is that I didn't accept the pearls because they weren't my catch, so this gentleman did say that he would try his best to get a similar catch. So I said, that's fine. Time lapsed, and I phoned him, and as I said, this has gone on since August of last year, so a couple of days before Christmas Eve, I phoned him and said, I'd love to have my pearls for Christmas because they're of sentimental value. And he said, oh, did nobody phone you? They're actually in Ashbourne as you speak. So I went down to the store in Ashbourne and opened the pearls to discover they weren't even my pearls this time. So I did go onto the Consumer Affairs website I actually told him and made notification of it that I was unpleased with the service and that I want my pearls back. So I went onto the Consumer Affairs website and printed out the template of a letter
right.
that I was going to forward to him, which I did, along with receipts depicting the fact that I was unhappy with the service, and each one dated accordingly as to it was not my catch, these are not my pearls.
My God, you're very organised.
So I actually took it over to him and handed him the letter.